Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop. It's an abbreviated show today. We'll go until the top of the hour. In his first press conference since winning re-election earlier this month, actually last week, President Obama reiterated comments he made last week on his plan to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff. And we'll talk about that in a moment. He also addressed the Petraeus scandal, saying that Americans are safer because of the work of the now disgraced general. What do you think of the president's remarks? We just heard them. They were over an hour long. Are there questions you would have asked but weren't asked by the press corps at the White House? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. You can also tweet us at WAMCVoxPop. You can leave your questions on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/WAMCRadio. The president sounding very presidential and also echoing themes he hit pretty hard during his campaign. The president said the economy cannot afford a tax increase on all Americans. He's calling on Congress, specifically congressional Republicans, to support an extension of existing tax rates for households earning $250,000 or less. The president says he's confident that he and Congress can reach an agreement that avoids a so-called fiscal cliff on the first of the year, when all tax rates would revert to Clinton-era levels and a series of deep spending cuts would kick in. Obama addressed the fiscal cliff at the opening of the conference today. In saying the economy can't afford plunging into tax increases at the start of the year, the president distanced himself from some in his own party who would prefer the tax increases and spending to occur to gain leverage. He also touched on the Petraeus scandal. Now, he said that he hasn't seen any evidence that the Petraeus situation has hurt national security. Lawmakers are meeting today to discuss a Watergate-style investigation of the whole thing. We'd love to get your thoughts on that. The president said he's withholding judgment on the timing of the revelations that the CIA director was under investigation. And so let's go right to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Brian in Tannersville, you're up.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. They were talking about renewable energy and how we can reduce our carbon. And you know, ever since the Great Recession has hit, I think a lot of people have become very frugal, have learned to do with less, and are going to continue to do with less from this point on, just like when the Great Recession hit. And you know, it really is a good thing for our planet to do with less, because you use up less resources, you're trashing the planet less.
Okay.
So how do you get the economy to move forward without using up more of its resources and without relying on consumerism to drive the economy? What you do is you create jobs in green energy, then you're reducing carbon, you're not using up resources, and you're creating jobs. Same time. I don't see any other way of doing it.
All right. And I think the president, you know, he didn't have time to go into great detail, but he did touch on that. Brian, thanks a lot. Let's go to Sally in Averill Park. Sally, you're up.
Hi, Ray. I was going to make a comment about the answer that President Obama gave on the question of Petraeus.
Yeah.
And that they were asking him about the timing. And his one of the part of his response that I was really impressed with was when he said to the reporter, well, if I had commented on the timing, you would have been asking me why was I interfering with a Justice Department investigation. And I love Obama's cool, collected responses. You know, it was really good thinking on his feet. And I feel that they would have been pounding him about that if he had been, you know, interfering in the investigation. And I don't find it difficult to see where the president might know that there's an investigation going on, but he's hired people that he trusts to take care of those things. And
I mean, clearly he should know that an investigation is going on, right? I mean,
sure,
he's the president.
Should. Absolutely. And if he did, I don't have a problem with him saying, okay, you tell me that this investigation is going on and, you know, you handle that, because I'm not going to micromanage. I'm going to trust the people I put in place.
Okay.
And I feel, you know, he was right when he said, yeah, and if I had been micromanaging the investigation, then the report should be coming out saying he, you know, meddling in the Justice Department, you know.
Yeah.
Report. But I enjoyed the press conference. It was good to hear him back as the president and really strong.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there were some signs there that there perhaps will be some compromise on taxing, and based on what Boehner said the other day, you know, that they might get a deal done, which I think everybody would be pretty relieved about, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sally, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ray. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's go to Jeffrey in Beckett. Hi, Jeffrey. You're up.
Hey, Ray. Good afternoon. You know, it was vintage Obama. However, a lot of it was focused on the budget negotiations, tax hikes, raising revenue. What I was hoping to hear, didn't hear, and which I'm really now more concerned about is he focused exclusively on the middle class as if lower income people didn't exist in terms of the most vulnerable, the poor, food stamps, Social Security, Medicare. So I have a very uneasy feeling that they might be bearing a good deal of the brunt when it comes to the budget negotiations.
Interesting, an interesting read, Jeffrey. And there was one one sentence I think he uttered during this that I think will give people thinking along your lines pause. And he said, you know, I'm open to new ideas on taxing and cutting costs and entitlement reform. And I think that for some, is going to be on the left, certainly a red flag.
I agree, the entitlement reform, because no one spoke up on behalf of really the most vulnerable during that press conference. So thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, Jeff, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Let's go. By the way, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I don't know if you heard the news. Lawmakers have been meeting today behind closed doors with top FBI and CIA officials in hopes of getting more information about the investigation that led to the resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus. The investigation also uncovered suggestive emails between the U.S. general commanding the war in Afghanistan and a Florida socialite. Members of the House Intelligence Committee met on Capitol Hill with FBI Director Robert Mueller and Deputy Secretary Sean Joyce, and then with Acting CIA Director Michael Morell. So lawmakers are concerned about these reports having security implications. The president today, during his first press conference since re-election, said he's not concerned that there was a national security breach. However, you know, I think you could take a liberal attitude with politicians perhaps having some moral issues that, you know, it is what it is. But when you're the head of the CIA, then anything you do along those lines is a potential risk. However, the president fairly confident. David, back in Albany County, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of make a comment that sort of connects the dots here. One, because of the president talking about the budget. As far as Petraeus leaving office or his position, and people talking about how they're, you know, generals or whatever in other situations, or even other people haven't had to leave theirs. That's all well and good when you're in the Army or a politician, but here is a person, the head of an agency that's supposed to look into secrets and keep secrets.
Yeah.
So in his situation, yeah, he'd have to leave. Now, as far as what's behind it, as far as a cultural thing for this country, you know, the lurid details of these people sitting at tables and touching each other.
Right,
and saying,
right, right. Yeah,
you know, the fact that you're talking about arrested development of people that are like 14 and 16-year-olds that are running this country, which I find very depressing. Well, but anyway, here's the thing, is that you're talking, there's hundreds of billions, if not maybe a trillion or two dollars spent on Homeland Security, all this stuff, trying to, you know, find the terrorists that are going to kill us one day. And here you have maybe one guy, major terrorist figure, which is really all on a very questionable sting setup that they've caught. Who's been caught with all of this trillions of dollars? The head of the CIA and the number one man in the brass.
Okay.
It's beyond ironic.
Well, there's a certain irony to that. Hey, David, we got to take a quick break.
So I just wanted to make a quick point. Is the fact of this grotesque waste of military spending, which here they're talking about cutting jobs, this is what this money is going into, and look what it's done for us.
All right, good way to head to the break. David, thanks a lot. Let's take apologies, but we have to consolidate the underwriting a bit. The president went long. We're going short. Back to your calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock, New York. Seasonal and organic produce, supplements, and homeopathic immunity support products for children and adults. Hot soups and sandwiches to go, sunflowernatural.com. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Drawn to Excellence, Renaissance to Romantic drawings from a private collection, works from the 16th to early 19th century, smith.edu/artmuseum. WMHT Production Services, providing high-definition video production on location, post-production editing and graphics, as well as full DVD duplication services, WMHT.org. Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting the swing band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy Rattle Them Bones Tour, this Friday, TroyMusicHall.org. And Best Cleaners, pickup and delivery throughout the Capital Region from Saratoga to Bethlehem, LookYourBest.com.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number on this foreshortened version of Vox Pop today. The president giving his first press conference since winning re-election last week. The president said America must seize the moment to seek an overhaul of the immigration system. He expects that work to start soon after the inauguration of a second term. He said conversations already taking place among those higher-ups in Washington. The president said any comprehensive immigration reform should include a path to legal status for those who came to the U.S. illegally seeking work. He says those immigrants should pay back taxes, learn English, and potentially pay fines. So he touched on a lot of issues, and we're getting your thoughts at 1-800-348-2551. We got a Tom in Greenville. Tom, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Right? Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up what you were talking about yesterday, secession.
Yeah.
I've heard that there are now 20 different states where the citizenry has sent these symbolic petitions. Have you heard that? It's up to 20 now?
No, I believe it's all 50. But remember, but here's the thing, you know, okay, the way this is in a way just it's like having a comment section on a website. In other words, the way that one worked, and let's not go back to yesterday, but you know, if you hit a 25,000 threshold, the White House says they will comment or have someone comment on it. It's not a legally binding thing, but there are, I think all 50 states have at least a few. There were 100 people maybe in Massachusetts who signed on, for instance, as of today.
Okay.
That's all?
No. I would just, even though this is yesterday's topic, I think this is important for Vox Pop.
Okay.
I think the concept of secession should not be dismissed. It is a way to keep the federal government under control. And after 9/11, with all these unconstitutional laws that were drafted, like the Patriot Act and the Military Tribunals Act and the most recent National Defense Act, a number of states have very quietly reaffirmed their own sovereignty and have made agreements with other states that they will respect the U.S. Constitution and they will not cooperate with the federal government if it comes into the state and tries to act unconstitutionally.
Hmm.
So all I'm saying is this. The idea of a state's own sovereignty is still, it's a very, very important idea.
I agree. And I think that there are those like Rick Perry who surprisingly, well, maybe not surprisingly, but he came out with a statement yesterday saying, you know, he doesn't want this to happen, secession. He respects the union, but there's a big 10th Amendment guy who's all about states' rights. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot. Let's go to Andrea in Kingston. Andrea.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The comment I have is President Obama is saying that he's open to new ideas regarding how to earn revenue and taxes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether he would be willing to consider very old ideas. Let's go back to the 50s and the 60s and what the very wealthy, the one percenters in this country were being taxed back then.
Okay. So I think what'll end up happening is, you know, there will be some compromise. I don't know if you're going to hit huge levels, but I got a feeling that the Republicans are going to play ball on this.
Well, I really think you're quite positive, and I admire that. I think they're just going to drag this forever. I just wish that our president would throw that in, because think about when was the middle class the strongest in this country, when the separation in wealth was as great as it is today. I mean, really, we have one family that has more money than 40% of Americans' wealth thrown together. How can you possibly consider that continuing to bail out the wealthiest or granting more benefits to the wealthiest or reducing their taxes is going to help the economy at any level. I think that back in the 50s and the 60s, when the middle class had a lot more money, those are the real individuals creating other jobs. It's not the wealthiest, it's the middle class. That's why we need a strong middle class with a responsible amount of taxes to be burdened with their share. But truly, the one percenters, they really need to meet their responsibilities.
Okay.
And the president is the only one that can make that happen.
I do think that both sides were hitting this idea that you just brought up, Andrea, about, you know, the middle class being the main thing during the campaign. And he's obviously the president that is going along those lines now. And I maybe I am an optimist. Maybe I'm a fool. But I do think there will be some cooperation on this and soon. Andrea, thanks a lot. Let's go to Alan in Plainfield. Alan.
Hello.
Hey.
There wasn't a great deal of discussion in the speech about entitlement, but right after the election was over, Senator Corker and some Republicans began to talk about entitlement reform.
The president mentioned it just once, and I believe one sentence in the press conference today.
And for these Republicans, entitlement reform means reforming the stuff that holds up the lower middle class and the retirees. There's no mention of corporate entitlement reform. That is, getting rid of the subsidy to the oil companies, getting some money out of the leases that these corporations have in the national forest, et cetera, which would be that would be entitlement of reform of these big cats, the top 1%, siphoning off thousands, billions of dollars in subsidies and other ways. That's my comment.
Okay, that's a good comment. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Ellen in Ellenville.
Yes,
how are you?
I'm fine. I totally agree with the gentleman just before speaking. And I did want to mention one of the gentlemen, not that I have anything against what he was saying, but he kept mentioning about sovereignty, something being sovereign, the states being sovereign. And I just would like to say women feel that their bodies are sovereign. They feel that that's their sovereign state.
Uh-huh.
And the hypocrisy in the government, where you have these congressmen, senators trying to pass all these laws concerning women's reproduction and their whole entire life, their body, their body parts, they're really treading on very, very shaky ground, because a person's body is sovereign to themselves. And I did want to mention, women are starting a new campaign, and it's called PIP. Have you heard that?
I have not heard, but I have heard the word PIP before.
Okay. Well, yes. This will keep a lot of those lawmakers, the congressmen and the senators, and the people running for president. We can remember John Edwards and everybody else. This will keep them all out of trouble if they will concentrate on PIP and not on women. PIP, of course, stands for penis inside pants.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good spot to leave it.
Yes, I do.
Ellen, thank you very much. You are allowed to say that, although I would hasten Zach to be on the 7-second delay if necessary. But thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And with that, with the PIP principle fully enunciated by Ellen in Ellenville, let's take another break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Pastoral and Parkland, American landscape paintings with works by George Ennis, Winslow Homer, Albert Bierstadt, and more, arkellmuseum.org. The Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses, and more, honestweight.coop. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. Capital Wine at State and Lark in the heart of Albany. Offering local and international wines, tastings Fridays 6 to 9, capitalwinestore.com. and have incorporated Hudson, New York, providing film or video to DV transfer services for businesses and individuals. 1-800-999-4283.
Yes, yes. 1-800-348-2551. It's the post-press conference edition of Vox Pop, the PIP principle in effect here. And President Obama says he hasn't yet scheduled a meeting with Republican Mitt Romney at a news conference today. He said he hopes to have the chance to talk with Mitt Romney before the end of the year. The president said the election was only a week ago. Everybody needs to catch their breath. And it's hard to believe it was only a week ago. A lot has happened. A lot has been said. He said he thinks Romney did a terrific job with the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City. The president said he's not prejudging how the former Massachusetts governor may be interested in helping the country, nor does he have a specific assignment. But President Obama said he does want to talk about some of Romney's ideas. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Chris in Saratoga. How are you, Chris?
Hey, good afternoon. A couple quick comments on the fiscal cliff.
Sure.
I don't think it's a horrible thing to have federal government cutbacks. If they have to cut 9% of their budget, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they need to be cutting their budget more. And as far as the tax increase, I get a big kick when they made us, I'm an employer, and they made me take 2% less out of the FICA check for every worker I have. And now when they, you know, if we're going to threaten to put that back in, they're calling it a tax increase. It's not a tax increase. It's just going back to the original 7.3% we need to take out to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, they're bankrupting Social Security, trying to stimulate the economy. If you tell somebody you're getting $1,000 more a year, it sounds like a big number. But over 52 weeks, $20 a week is not going to stimulate the economy. That's not going to make people run out and buy high-ticket items and everything. So
yeah.
Those are two bad fallacies that the Democrats have. They think that this is a big deal, saving 2% on FICA. It's bankrupting Social Security. The last fellow wanted to make sure that, you know, we kept Social Security solvent. Well, they're certainly not doing that by cutting 2% out of what should be put in there every week.
So, Chris, not discounting at all what you say, because I think what you say is certainly has something
to it. It
makes
sense. It's a problem. And
okay.
People in Washington don't deal in sensible ideas like business owners do.
But my question for you.
Every week.
But my question for you is, do you have to start somewhere? In other words, the taxing the so-called 1% more, in the end, it's not going to solve the budget deficit. But do you have to start somewhere? That is the question. That when they start negotiating and hopefully reaching a compromise, don't they have to say, well, we got to do a little bit here, a little bit there, every drop in the ocean, don't you think?
I agree. Compromise is big. But to call putting the 2% back in to the FICA a tax increase, it's not a tax increase. That's where politicians want to mislead the public.
I hear you.
It, 2 years ago, it was always in there. It's been in there ever since they created Social Security. 7.3% we have to take out of their paycheck, and I match it as an employer.
Yep. Yep.
And when you take it out for 2 years and all of a sudden if it's going to come back in at the end of the year, you're calling it a tax increase. It's not a tax increase. So that's where they mislead you. It should be in there. It should never been never should have came out. And they're going to bankrupt. You know, you may see it. I'll never see it at my age. See Social Security. They'll just keep bumping the age up, and I'll never get anything back that I put in.
Yeah. Well, you know, it frightens me too. I'm 48 years old. I got to tell you something. I may not see that either. So, Chris, thanks a lot.
I'm right with you.
We appreciate it. Let's go to Sam in Sharon, Connecticut. Sam, you're on.
How are you?
Hey.
Ray. What a great day it is. A little Indian summer looking at us. My comment has to do with the plutocracy that started to really take over this country. And by that I mean, and everybody is talking about the top 2%, 1%, 3%, whatever population you're looking at that has so much money.
Yeah. What do you want to say?
That they have, and, you know, programs that you air, like the Friday afternoon program, that talks about these various pieces of legislation that have been put in place that enable the wealthy and the super wealthy to keep even more of that wealth. mm-hmm. at the expense of, you know, and the word plutocracy. I mean, you think of the word Pluto, and it's this planet in outer space. And that's how much money these people have. And the fact that they've been able to exert such an influence on our democracy and enact this kind of legislation is really, really frightening. And I think it should be a wake-up call. And no, we aren't a plutocracy, thank God. And this election was a perfect, you know, example of the democracy that we are.
Well,
and go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. How much do you think the top one, for lack of a better number, 1%, how much do you think the 1% should be paying?
I think they ought to pay the fair. I mean, I'm paying 30% of my income. They ought to pay 30%. The fact that Mitt Romney paid $3 million out of $25 million, that's not right. They ought to pay at least 30%. I'm thinking more like 35%. Let's be reasonable here. We're talking about people who have that much money, millions and millions of dollars, or those who make over $1 million a year. And I'm not calling it a millionaire's tax. I'm calling it a tax that's fair. You know, a percentage of their income, like, you know, say round numbers often, you're talking about the middle class family making, rounded off to 100,000, so numbers are easy, and they're paying 30,000 out of that 100,000. The millionaires ought to pay 30%, and there shouldn't be loopholes that allow them to deduct all the interest income that they make. That's half their income.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to go back and revisit this legislation, and it's up to all of us, all our representatives and our senators that we just sent down there, and there's a number of new ones. Thank God. And thank God there's 10 more women, because we need more women in government. Women listening out there, you know it's true.
Okay. All right. So the question I have for you is, I assume, and I may be wrong, that you voted for President Obama's reelection.
I did.
Okay.
I did, totally. I've supported him since he came on the scene.
Okay. So do you think, are you encouraged by what you heard today at the press conference? Do you think in 4 years from today, as we are having a press conference with the next president, that there will have been some real progress in the areas you mentioned as being important to you?
I think there will. I honestly do. I think the Republicans had a huge wake-up call this election because of their, you know, representation being largely white upper and middle class, 65% of the white population. I mean, I'm ashamed to say that because I'm not ashamed to be white. I'm proud I voted for Obama and I'm for, you know, what those democratic values stand for. And thank God for standing on those feet now.
Okay. Well, hey, so Sam.
I'm optimistic, Ray. You are. I don't even think about optimism as an option. We have to be optimistic. We have to be hopeful. This is America. I mean, we're founded on those two premises, that we get up every day and we're hopeful, we're optimistic, we're looking for something more, and we all have to make it better, all of us.
You sound like you're on the campaign trail, Sam. That isn't bad at all. Way to go.
I'm so happy. I'm so relieved over this election. I mean, I look at the 10 women that got in power. I look at the senator we put in Connecticut, Estee, and I'm so happy that Gillibrand was put back in. I know that we can make some changes. And Washington has been in such gridlock. I mean, when we elected Obama the last time, the Republicans were out to defeat him. Now they understand that that's not going to work.
I think that's an excellent point. Assuming that your premise is correct, then there's no reason not to compromise on some things. Not necessarily saying that conservatives should abandon their principles, but there's wiggle room. And the president mentioned it today. He's open to new ideas and, you know, work something out. We're in
yeah.
trouble here. Well, hey, Sam, way to go, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ray. Take care.
All right. The president also said he's encouraged that the Syrian opposition, and I don't know if you've been following this, but things are moving between Israel and Syria today. And I'm sure you'll hear about it in the news coming up. President Obama said he's encouraged that the Syrian opposition has formed a new, more representative leadership council, but he says the U.S. isn't ready to recognize the group as a government in exile or to arm it. Obama said today at the news conference that the U.S. believes that the new council is a legitimate representative of the aspirations of the Syrian people. There is some missile firing and some generals being taken out between Israel and Syria today. The president also mentioned Iran, and he said there's no place for a nuclear weapon, but he did say if they want to use nukes for peaceful purposes, he's down with that. That will remain to be seen. But thank you for checking in today. We're just about out of time. The president did a nice long press conference today. You'll hear much more about it on these airwaves coming up. Thank you for chiming in with your opinions on Vox Pop. Support comes from speakers at Temple Emmanuel in Kingston, presenting Angels in America, playwright and Lincoln screenwriter Tony Kushner, November 18th, 7 p.m., speakerste.org. NBT Bank, offering business, deposit, lending, retirement planning, investment and cash management services, nbtbank.com. A.D. George Construction, for over 25 years serving the Pioneer Valley's residential construction needs, remodeling additions and more, from design to completion, 6752, excuse me. And the Digital Berkshire Eagle, an online newspaper for news and information of the Berkshires and beyond, noinkyfingers.com. All right, that's it. Thanks to Zach Malloy for standing by for a couple of hours and then finally kicking off the show. Well done at the controls. Colleen O'Connell answered our calls. Thank you for calling. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we roll out the barrel. It's the beer show.